Hello, Yvette Luciano here. Thank you for clicking play. Let's jump in for another Soul to Soul chat. What a lineup for this episode, featuring Gala Darling, who is a best-selling author and prolific online creator, Luke Hines, who is also a best-selling author, a TV personality and health expert, Rachel McDonald, who is a beauty of a business mentor and writer, and Angela Simpson, who is one of the most successful health coaches that I know. Four established solopreneurs with quite different businesses, yet all have loyal social media communities as the core foundation of how they have built and grown their businesses over the years. While we do have more episodes soon on the practical strategies of social media these days, this particular episode is something I feel is more important, relevant, and required first, especially for those of us who spend a significant amount of time online creating, nurturing, and growing businesses, community, and trust with the intention of doing this in ways that honor our soul and well-being and our audiences. This is more about the energy of social media and the relationships with our communities that we create in these sacred spaces, including our soul guiding decisions on opportunities and collaborations, respecting our audience more than our ego, the real value of social media beyond the money and numbers, creating what feels good on and offline and making decisions on new projects, stepping away from formulas and making it up as we go, creating our own structures and ways of being in our business, moving through limiting beliefs at the beginning and during our business and career creation, false perceptions of the gap between you and your peers' success, fear of judgment from others, nurturing your niche and dissolving the need for everyone's approval, giving yourself permission to be polarizing, being out loud and proud as the complete package of you. And Gala shares her favorite tapping resources. So please note, this episode does contain adult language. Let's dive in. The big question for all of you, and this one will go from we'll start with Luke and end with Gala. How do you know when your business is being guided by your soul versus your ego? Because there are so many opportunities that come to you now, huge opportunities. How do you know it's your soul's voice versus your ego's voice?
It's an interesting question, because I think a lot of us, and if not yet, you will come in contact with opportunities that require collaborations or potentially a sponsored post of some kind. So for me, an example is when a brand or a company gets in touch for a sponsored Instagram post or Facebook post. And initially, it was very tempting to do a lot of them because they're financially benefiting. But what happened was, is there was a transition where my ego stopped wanting or needing money over respecting my audience and also respecting what I was genuinely interested in. So at first, straight off MKR, it was like, oh, cool, yeah, they're going to send me this free shit and I'm going to get paid to post a photo about it. That was all great, but that was all ego. And then I realized I would much rather do little to none of those and only do it for products or brands or experiences that I genuinely do or use that feels right, paid or not paid. It shouldn't have been about the money ever, and I should only ever save. I think social media is a very, very sacred place, and if you build an audience, it is very, very important to respect them for following you. So don't treat them with disrespect by going ego post, ego post, ego post. Show them posts that someone once told me that the best thing you can ever do anytime you post on social media is use it to start a worthwhile conversation. It should never be about ego or this is where I am, this is what I'm doing, the end. It should be something about you guys sharing something with you. So yeah, that was my experience with that, making sure it was coming from the right place with love.
Yeah, I echo that. I think that it's really important that when you are sharing, and I don't know if social media is what we're meant to be talking about or just business in general, but I think that for me, coming from a place of like, okay, how can I help other people with what it is that I'm sharing? And it's been a subject that I've noticed a lot lately where people are sort of like, do I share everything? And it's almost like a part of your ego is like, yeah, share everything. Everyone wants to know. And then there's like this other part of you that's like, no one gives a shit. Like no one cares about you or what you're doing. And so it's definitely this balancing act. I think that I would always have the intention to come from like, okay, how is this helping other people? It doesn't need to all be about me. But then there's also that balance that sometimes the shit that we go through is stuff that people do need to see us experiencing as like on a really human level for them to see that it's okay. So I don't know. I find that I battle with this all the time. The ego pops up all the time and I don't hate my ego. I think that it's a part of me that should be loved and adored. But yeah, it's often checking in and being like, oh, is this the part of me that's crying out for attention? Or is this the part of me that's here to serve? So yeah, I hope that helps.
I love that. Love that. I'll talk about it in context with creations because that's what's really present for me at the moment. So as Yvette mentioned in my bio, I'm working on a product that's about navigating transition, and I really feel like that is a soul project because it doesn't make sense in lots of ways. And my ego is like, oh, you know, is this a good idea? Is this something that people actually want? And every time I've tried to push it to the side, my soul has been like, no, there's things you need to share here. And it's going to require you being vulnerable, and it's going to require you putting things out there that you might not like to put out there because it's about my journey as well. So I think for me, you know, when we're speaking specifically about our creations in the world, you will know when it's your soul because you won't be able to get away from it. It'll just keep coming back up until you honour it.
So, did anyone read that interview that Quincy Jones did with GQ magazine recently?
No.
It was all over American Twitter. I guess you missed it. It was amazing. He talked about how like Marlon Brando would have sex with anything. It was really amazing. But that's not the point. The point is that he was talking about like making Thriller and, you know, he's an amazing producer. He's had his hand in so much great music. But what he said, and I told Yvette this, and she was like, please say that tomorrow. He said, when he was talking about like Ciroc vodka and Fat Farm and like people in hip hop who basically were like, oh, I'm going to do this thing to make money. He said, when money is the primary goal, God walks out of the room. And if you're creating something with the sole intention of making a bunch of cash, you're not going to feel good about it. It's not going to work. And that's never the intention. Like, I like to think of what we do as artistry. Like, I'm not like a clothing company. I'm not Forever 21. I'm not in it purely for a profit. I'm in it because I have shit I want to express that I think is important and that is part of my, like, soul's yearning. Such a feminine thing to say, but you know what I mean? Like, if you feel that, right? Like, you really want to share something. So if I'm only doing it for the money, it doesn't feel good. And it has to feel useful and real, and the goal has to be that it feels valuable in a way that's not just financial. Yeah.
Are any of you brave enough to share openly about some mistakes that you might have made when times that you went along with your ego, even though your soul's voice was trying to pull you back? And
sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to just dive in. Several times I've tried creating a monthly subscription type program thing because I think like, oh yeah, this is good. People want this information from me, and then it's like regular income and I know how much I'm going to make every month, and every fucking time I do, I'm like, I hate this. And I have to cancel it. Like, I have to kill it. And it also never sells as well as I want it to because I'm not really in it for the right reasons. So yeah. Every time I do that, it doesn't work. Like I was saying earlier, I love to be in the creative thing. And when it feels like an obligation or a burden, I'm immediately turned off. I don't want to do it anymore. So I have to recognize like that doesn't work for me as a framework. Yeah.
And so when it comes to, because all four of you are constantly, you know, coming up with amazing ideas about new books, new products, new, just new ideas. How do you
No, and Rach, you just already tapped into that, so that's awesome. How do you know, yes, this is something that I need to act on and commit to and deliver, versus something that's like, oh, actually, that's not quite for me, or...
I'll talk if no one else wants to at the moment. I think that often in your business, I know that, like, talking about the ego again, you kind of see people doing things and you're like, oh, that's how it's meant to be done. Like, I know, you know, I don't know, many of you might know, like, Jeff Walker's launch book, and you're like, oh, okay, so that's how I've got to do it. And sometimes I think that for me personally, especially when I was getting started, I was like, okay, I do launch, I do Marie Forleo, I do this, and then I create, I do a free opt-in, then I do a book, and then I do a program. And I feel like for me, that seemed to be the path, and it didn't work. I did a few things, and then I went, you know what, like, fuck it, I'm going to do a program that I really want to do that might not be completely in alignment with what I was doing. I mean, I wrote a little recipe book and then I was like, no, fuck that, I want to be like mindset. Sorry, excuse my French. I want to be like mindset and talking about, you know, more like the love and loving that dark side and loving the bad things that happen in your life and gratitude, not from like a fluffy way of like, oh, you know, let's all like write in our gratitude journal every day and rainbow, sunshine. Like, it's like, no, like really shit things have happened and let's find the lesson and the blessing in it, or the blessing, as some people would call it. They make up words. You know, and so I don't even know where I was going with that. This is probably a perfect example of just like messing up and not really knowing what you're doing at times. But sometimes I think it's, you probably think you're meant to follow like a path. And for me, like the absolute screw up was when I tried to follow the path that had been paved before me. And I was being told by all these people like, oh, mirror and model success and this is how to do it. And I was like, no, like you said, you know, creating like mini courses and doing the things that really light you up in the moment. Mm-hmm. I think that's what stops you from going into that like, oh, I failed, you know?
And you'll never be a pioneer by following somebody else's trail.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And when you have had failures, which we all have had, because anyone in the room who, you know, has a business has had failures and flops and mistakes and things not working out the way that we'd hoped. And we're going to talk a little bit more about resilience tomorrow afternoon, but how have you found your feet and your confidence again to dust yourself off and get back up and release again and launch again?
I think it's about just getting right back out there, honestly. Yeah. The more you sit and analyze and overthink and break it down, the more you're just going to psych yourself out, essentially. I think you've just got to do something else, something that feels really good to you too. Like, you might have gone for a huge project that just flopped, or a huge launch or whatever it might be, maybe following someone's formula and it just didn't work for you. I think you've got to come back in and go, what's the simplest next step that I can take that's just going to get me back out there, build up that evidence of self-belief and, you know, get your confidence back up again, essentially, and then continue on the path from there.
It's really just, getting back up.
Get back out there.
Stay in action.
Yep.
Yeah. And something, and I quoted this in the book as well, of one of the best things that Denise said at our first Soulpreneur events, Denise Uthill-Thomas, who is going to be speaking here tomorrow, and something that I think has been really, really reassuring for a lot of people. I've quoted it so many times in so many ways, in one-on-one with Soulpreneurs, as well as... everywhere, including the book, is Denise said, you know, and it's okay also for you to have a practice business. And for that first, even if you had a business and it flopped and it didn't work out that well, so it wasn't just a project, it was this entire business and it didn't work out, maybe that was your practice business and it's totally okay for you to, you know, have another one. And maybe whatever project you worked on that didn't work really well, maybe that was a practice project. And maybe it's okay to have 100 practice projects. Same with social media, you know. Sometimes you might put something on social media and it doesn't seem to connect with anyone. And well, that was a good practice post, I guess.
Just archive that shit.
Yeah, and I think remember that you're only seeing what has gone ahead from people as well. There's been so many projects and websites and all of that that actually has not seen the light of day. I had a website before I had my son a couple of years ago, went through a whole process of a very expensive website, invested a ton of time and money, and just wasn't flowing. I was really pushing it with the designer, and it felt torturous. I was like, this is not enjoyable. And we both came to the decision, we're like, this isn't working, let's pull it. Lost the money, you know, went on with my life, ended up having my son, and the website I would have put out there is so vastly different than what I will now create, because obviously there's just been so much that's happened and I've grown so much in the last few years. But it wasn't meant to happen, but you know, I'm telling you this now, but you might not have known that. So I think remember that all those buried projects, we're just not hearing about them. We're hearing about the highlights on social media and out there in the online space.
Yeah. Now, when it came to, when you think back to when you were starting your business, what were some of the biggest fears that you needed to move through? So for me, as I mentioned this morning, it was not qualified enough. I didn't even finish high school. That whole thing. So how can I start this whole event company or this whole PR company, or you know, what I was doing at the time. So what was kind of, because I, you know, everyone has their not enoughs, whatever it is, you know, they're not qualified enough, not experienced enough, not pretty enough, not tall enough, not young enough, not old enough, not, you know, whatever it is, not fit enough, not healed enough. Now, what I would love to hear what everyone's were. What was your not enough? And or what was your biggest fear that came up for you as you were starting to sort of get out there into the world?
I think for me, and it was self-imposed almost, this form of imprisonment that because I was too busy comparing my journey and my content and my career progression against others and people who were also in my industry and my peers, I put this reversal projection where I thought they would judge me, how I was perceiving them. So I'd spent too much time looking at their successes, forgetting that they may have had any failures whatsoever. And then I've put myself into their shoes going, well, how are they going to perceive me? And then instead of them viewing me as success, like I was viewing them as a success, I was imagining their eyes judging my content, judging my product, judging my program, judging what I was doing, rather than it coming from an equal space of me respecting and admiring their success and them doing the same. So what held me back was my fear of judgment from others, in particular my peers in my industry. And I say peers now because I'm in a healthier headspace, but 12 months ago I would have said competition. So, yeah, it's a really important transition for me to know that everyone is my peer and that there's absolutely room for everyone at the top. And we need to allow that. And we also need to allow ourselves to believe that, as it took me a lot, because I was so fearful of falling behind. I felt like there wasn't enough room and we all had to battle to make our room to the top. There's so much room. And it's an exciting place to be when you're all there together, smiling and supporting each other.
All the feels. I'll let you guys know when I feel like I'm enough. I think it doesn't ever get to the point where you're like, oh, here I am. Look at me. I'm at the top of my game. Because no matter what sort of level you hit, whether it's like financial or numbers on social media or, you know, like qualifications, there's always going to be someone who's just, you know, oh, no, but then there's that person that's up there. And, okay, so now I'm not enough compared to them. So I think that for me, it's just constantly looking for proof of my not enoughness being untrue. So looking for, like you, Yvette, you know, I didn't finish school. I went to grade 10. I never went to university. I don't finish many things. I'm very underqualified for everything. You know, I know nothing about business, but it's like, you know, you look for proof of where other people have gone before you and proved that you don't need what you think you're being told you need. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what, just go, there are people who, you know, the smart, what do they say, like someone like Einstein or something didn't finish school. I don't even know who it was. But it's like, think about people like that and be like, oh, okay, there just needs to be a part of me that cares enough to be persistent, because I know that no matter what, if I keep working towards what it is I want, maybe I'll never be enough, but eventually I'm going to get pretty damn close if I just keep at it. So I don't know if that answers the question. Yeah. I just get on a rant.
Love it. When I first started my business, my big fear was around wanting to have a plan and a structure for my coaching business, because it started in a bit of a whirlwind. And I really thought for the first little while, I thought I had to follow a bit of a structure, and I didn't have it. So there was this disconnect where I thought I was winging it. But what I realized after a little while was it was just about me giving myself permission to actually create my own structure. I didn't need to follow, a set plan of how I was going to coach my clients. And naturally, I fell into that. But it was, at the very beginning, it all started very quickly, my business. And I had quite a few clients jump on quickly because I'd been blogging and had essentially sent a newsletter out saying that I was going to take on some blog coaching clients. I'd been blogging for 18 months at that point, thinking no one would respond, and lots of them came back. And so I thought, shit, I don't know what I'm doing. I actually don't know how to coach them. And when I broke it down, it was like, I know how to guide them through. I come from marketing PR world in the corporate space, so. Really, I think, it was just coming back to, I don't need the plan, I don't need the structure, I just need to give myself permission to actually make this up in a way that feels really good for me moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started my business almost like 11, 12 years ago, a really long time. So it's almost hard for me to remember what I went through at the time when I first started, but I do remember thinking that starting a business really brought up every single limiting belief I'd ever had about myself, brought it to the forefront. And I was tapping on every limiting belief that came up every day. Like I was tapping like 5 times a day on shit that came up for me about, who am I to say this? I'm not enough. I'm never going to make enough money. Why does anybody care? Blah, blah, blah. And that's really what got me through, just tapping on every single belief that came up. And things moved really, really quickly for me, and I'm sure that part of it is because I was dropping all the resistance that I had, and my blog like exploded. And if I'd been afraid to put myself out there, if I'd been afraid to really speak up and say how I felt, then I know that it wouldn't have grown as quickly as it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something I'm really mindful that we're going to start running out of time so fast. All of these panels, I feel like we're just going to want them to just go for hours. And we do have a social media and sort of digital media focused panel, big panel tomorrow, with really practical steps for us to all be taking. But I do want to talk for a sec about connecting with the souls of our audience. And this is going to really tie into, in a more marketing term, into niche. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, so many of us are so concerned with getting approval from everyone and everyone that's ever known us or everyone that's ever been on the internet at any point ever. We want their approval. We want them to all like us. But they're not all your people. They're not all your people. And the more that we niche into our people, the real, the souls of the audience and the people who really do need us and want us to be entirely ourselves. But some of that involves letting go and shedding some of, if you've already got a community, that might mean that some of those people are going to leave and feeling totally okay with that. And seeing that as just like, you know, I really want you guys to leave here this afternoon feeling like you've just been given a massive permission slip to be entirely you and to be polarizing and to be, you know, it's okay. It's okay. And there are some great stories from within this panel on this. Luke in particular, I'd love for you to share. Yep.
Yeah. So back when I did My Kitchen Rules, I hadn't really openly come out. I was to my friends and family, of course, but it wasn't something that was public or a part of my career as such. And as time evolved, my social media really became more about my business. So it was about food, it was about putting out kind of my tips on mindset. It was the meals, mindset and moves. So not often were people seeing my family, my friends or my partner, okay? And recently we've had the postal vote on the marriage situation. And having spent, you know, a couple of years not ever mentioning my sexuality or really alluding to it in any way because it just naturally hadn't come up. Certainly wasn't hiding it, but it had just not naturally come up. I posted a photo saying how happy I was as a gay man, and my experiences growing up were really tough at an all-boys private boys' school and struggling with the thoughts, but being in a heavily Christian environment, and it was just, you know, very tough for me. And I shared that story, and I didn't think much of it at all. It was, to me, celebrating the fact that it was a yes, and sharing how I'm really excited that this yes is a vote towards showing anyone else who's struggling like I did that it's okay, and you don't have to be as scared as I was. So as much as it received a very positive response, I lost over 200 followers in a couple of hours.
Fuck those losers.
And you know what?
No
offense. Absolutely. What was exciting is that I wasn't, you know, if I posted a recipe and lost 200 followers, I'd start thinking about what my food philosophy was and what was going on. But it was interesting that that brought out the people who maybe were there for some elements of who I am, but not who I was completely. Yeah. And I was really happy to lose them because fuck them. Literally, yeah. If you can't be happy for me and people in my community, then fantastic. I don't want you following me for the other stuff because I'm a complete package. You want me, you get the meals, mindset, moves, and everything else. You know, this is how it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you lose anyone, fuck them. They're not meant to be on your journey anyway, you know. Have the right people around you for the right reasons. Yeah. It's empowering that way.
It's been really interesting in the States. Like, you know, a lot of us in kind of like lifestyle blogging or fashion blogging or even spirituality didn't talk about politics for a long time. And now it's like, oh, come on. And whenever I am political on my Instagram or my Facebook or wherever, and I'm not ashamed of that at all, I will never apologize for it, people are always pissed about that. Mm. I follow you for radical self-love, da 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 da. Well, how the fuck is this government encouraging radical self-love? Get off my fucking page. Like, if you don't support everyone, then no.
Yeah.
This is not for you. Yeah.
So good. And yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you, Angel, Rach, do you have something to add?
I'm out. I mean, I'm not out, but.
Really, really nailed it. Well, the next question was about confidence of being your true self, loud and proud in the world. So we've definitely covered that one.
I think we all have that covered.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
You're good.
So I actually think on that note, I think we will. We've got time for one or maybe two questions. Who has a question for the panel based on the topics we've been speaking about?
Gala, thank you very much for what you've shared. Just when you're going on with your tapping, is there someone that you recommend to follow? Because that's come up as a common thread for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Ortners are amazing. I think everyone will tell you them. I have a video on my YouTube from 2007 where I have crooked teeth and purple hair and I'm mumbling in a really strong New Zealand accent. But I'll teach you how to tap for free. I have a class as well called Tap That, which is about learning how to tap. Yep. It's really easy. But if you want to grab me outside, I can show you how to do it really quickly. It's cool. Super easy. And okay. I do this thing called power tapping, where you use two hands at once, because... Okay, all right. So you can Google the language and the blah, 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 but basically you're just tapping on meridian points in your body, right? So the first one's the top of the head, then the start of the eyebrow, temples, under the eye, under the nose, under the mouth, collarbones, like where your bra line would be, and then wrists. That's it. Seriously, that's it. It's really fucking easy. There's so much information online on YouTube. Like Brad Yates is really amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's this woman who has this great video called Tapping for $50,000, which totally works. You should all go and do it. It's probably the best tip you'll hear all day.
So good.
If you wish to hear more from Gala, Luke or Rachel, please check out their previous episodes here on Soulpreneur Sessions. We'll get Ange back on again soon too. Thank you for listening to this episode of Soulpreneur Sessions. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes for new podcast updates and give us a 5-star rating and review on there to help share the show with more souls who need it. This show is proudly independent, ad-free and sponsor-free, now and forever. So your shares and support are what keeps us going. I've been your host, Yvette Luciano, the author of Soulpreneurs, which is available now online and in bookstores all around the world. Please get your copy and we will see you next time here on Soulpreneur Sessions.